There are certain phrases in the Bible that every time I read them, I jump out of the Bible to some situation in my life. And this expression, Balm of Gilead, every time I read Jeremiah and I read it, boom, it goes right to the song. I got to stop that, get back in professor mode. You know, what does this mean in the context? Now, I did notice most of you apparently don't know this song. So I'm sure that's not happening to you. Alice, you knew this song, right? Yeah. It's a spiritual, and if I notice at the bottom it says an African-American spiritual. That's debated, at least where the words came from. It certainly became big in America in the African-American community. So at some level it became spiritual, whether it technically started that. But the just the way the chorus starts, da-na-na-na-na, you know, it sort of has a little hook to it there. There's a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. That phraseology, I just, every time, and it's a couple space, twice in Jeremiah it comes up, I'm just taken by that phrase. And the song is kind of haunting, melancholy, and that matches, as we're going to say, the situation in Jeremiah, so it works very well. If you will, turn to the book of Jeremiah. So find Psalms, a couple to the right, and you're to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is 52 chapters long. Much of it describes depressing the end of the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has been blown up by this point in the history of redemption. And we're at the southern kingdom, and they're just about done. Northern kingdom had no good kings. Southern kingdom had good kings and bad kings, but now they've had a slew of bad kings. And it's very depressing. Jeremiah's plight, what's happening, the whole country's going to be creamed, and they're going to go off to exile. And in addition to the many depressing parts of Jeremiah, there are also wonderful highlights, which is going to relate to our sermon. And there's many highlight chapters, but you probably are aware of chapter 30 to 33, also 23, as we'll see in a second. So there's some highlight chapters. Now we're going to be in chapter 9, which is not a highlight chapter, as you're going to see. Another angle of Jeremiah is that the prophecies of Jeremiah are not in chronological order that he gave them. So that's another little complication. We're not exactly sure. So it's right at the end or 10 years from the end, but the end is coming and he's announced, you know, they're going to get creamed. And we're going into exile. So it's a very depressing section. Let's look at chapter 9. At this point, Jeremiah is aware they've sinned. Now, individuals can repent, but the country's going to get creamed. He knows that, and so there's many of these depressing statements about this. We're going to look at two verses, which is its own little pericope. So I'm really in chapter 8. 21 to 22, I'll say something about 9, verse 1 a little later. So looking at the text, the word of God by Jeremiah, chapter 8, 21 and 22. For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my daughter, of my people, not been restored? Is there no balm in Gilead? Why won't they take the balm? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us. We thank you for all parts of the Bible. As your people need all parts of the Bible, aid us in understanding Jeremiah. Aid us through the power of the Holy Spirit, applying it to ourselves today. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, looking at verse 21, he uses the expression, the daughter of my people, which comes up in both 21 and 22. This is used a bunch of times in the Old Testament. It's not super famous, about 9 times in Jeremiah, a bunch of Lamentations. And every time it's used, he's calling Israel a woman, and it's in the context of she's having all times of problems. Bad enough a guy having problems, but it's a woman who can't defend herself. It's very depressing. The wound of my daughter, meaning Israel, but he uses this expression of a woman, adding to the disgust and the just difficulties of the whole scenario. What's going on? It's serious distress the people are in. And in verse 21, although it says, I mourn, it's more like she's crushed. The wounded, she's wounded. This woman is wounded. Now the wound here, technicality, it's more like a wound and the skin is trying to go across it when you look at the Hebrew. So it's a wound and it's trying to grow back. And I'll come up with the balm in a second. So the wound is wound, it's a hole in the skin, and the skin's trying to cover it over as she's attempting to heal, but it's not going very well. And Jeremiah's grief is just profound of what's happening to his country. He knows they're going to get creamed. Look at verse 19. Behold, the cry of the daughter of my people from the length and breadth of the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they, the people of Israel, provoked me to anger and their carved images and their foreign idols? Run down to chapter 9, verse 4. Here's how bad it is. Let everyone beware of his neighbor. Put no trust in a brother. Every brother is a deceiver. Every neighbor goes about in slander. Everyone deceives his neighbor. No one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They are weary themselves committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression, deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, says the Lord. Look at verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Jeremiah speaking, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears. He's using the metaphor. He's crying so much is as if there's just water in his head and it's coming out. That I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And in fact, you may know the expression, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. And in the Hebrew text, that's where this comes from. Although there's a spot in Lamentations in the Septuagint, but not in the MT, that talks about weeping also. But the weeping prophet. Now, Dr. Belcher, do you teach him the weeping prophet? Wherever Dr. I'm getting a no answer. Yes, yes, okay, yes. Well, there's your verse, 9:1. Right after the balm verse. Okay, let me have a little parenthesis on what in the world is a balm of Gilead, just to, so it's going to make some sense to you. Parenthesis. First of all, what's Gilead? Okay, Gilead's an old name for a region in Palestine, but it's across the Jordan River on the east side of the Jordan River. It's south of the Sea of Galilee, if you could picture the Sea of Galilee, a little south of that. Is Gilead, and because there's the Jordan River that connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, okay, so where the river is, that's the low spot elevation-wise, so then you go up from there, and then Gilead is mostly the hilly country. It then comes down, so this is on the east side, what would be a Jordan, the country of Jordan at the moment. Now, what was famous about Gilead, there were many, for whatever reasons, unusual plants that grew there that didn't grow in other parts of the world, let alone in other parts of Israel. As far as the 12 tribes go, Gad and Manasseh partially covered Gilead. Now, Gilead, in the time of the Bible and after the Bible, was famous for having a balm or a salve or an ointment to put on wounds. It was world famous. And apparently, we don't exactly know, it came from a tree, we think. And I'll say a few other comments about that in a few minutes. And apparently there were physicians that knew how to get this out of the tree, assuming it was a tree, maybe it was a bush, and then they knew what quantities to put on your wound to make the skin heal much quicker. Let's look at a few examples. Go to Genesis 37, just to give you a sense of how famous this balm in Gilead is. 37:25, this is Joseph's brothers. And Joseph is sold here in this section. So I'm at 37:25. And they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. And the camels were bearing the gum and the balm and the myrrh on their way to carry it to Egypt. Go back to Jeremiah 46. You'll see the balm used again. 46:11, I'm at. And this is actually, he's yelling at Egypt. There's these sections in Israel gets yelled at, or southern Israel gets yelled at, southern Judah, but then other countries get yelled at. Here they're getting yelled at. In other words, it's going to be so bad, verse 11, 46:11, go up to Gilead. Okay, you're going to be wounded like crazy. Go up to Gilead. Take the balm. O virgin daughter of Egypt, in vain you've used many medicines. There is no healing for you. We have a Roman historian, Pliny, tells of a whole bunch of famous generals, Alexander the Great, Vespasian, Pompey, that they stopped, three generals that we know of, super famous, stopped and went to Gilead to get the balm for their soldiers. So it's super famous in the world. Now, it doesn't exist anymore, apparently. One of those generals took too much and didn't replant or whatever he was supposed to do. He was not environmentally concerned. Okay, back to Jeremiah chapter 8, 21 and 22. Looking at 22, these haunting words. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? At the literal level, there was balm in Gilead. There were physicians. So he knows they're there. He's using it metaphorically. Why won't Israel take the balm? It's there. The balm is believe on the Lord. Why won't they just believe on the Lord? It's there. It's easy. It heals them. Why won't they do it? Now, he knows the answer, sin. They're refusing to turn to the Lord. They love their sin more than their physician. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. But they won't go there. Why won't they go there? And in fact, the word physician has another kind of connotation. Run back to Exodus 15:26, which is the classic text on God being the physician. 15:26, Exodus. And in the Hebrew, it's the same physician word, but it'll say healer sometimes or physician. So there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and he tested them, saying, if you would diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh, the Lord, your physician. That's a famous classic text. And then that physician text gets used a whole bunch of places. Now, Jeremiah knows and is prophesying that the current Israel, okay, certain individuals will take the balm of Gilead, but he knows God in the future will apply the wonderful balm of Gilead in the future. And let's look at a couple of those texts. Look at Jeremiah 23. 5 and 6. And this is the future here for Jeremiah. 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, future days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, ultimately pointing to Christ. Okay, let's go to the more famous chapters, which are 30 to 33. Run over there, and he uses the same healing wound words from our text. 30:17. God speaking, I will restore health. That's the same, fix the wound, exact same language from our balm passage. I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. Run over to 33:6. Behold, I will bring to it, Israel, health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. And again, it's the same heal word, the same wound kind of wording there. It's an awkward Hebrew expression, so it's hard for the translators to mechanically make it work out. So Jeremiah knows there's a balm. He knows there's a healer. And ultimately, that healer is Christ. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? There is a balm. And he's saying to the people, hopefully for certain individuals, go to the balm, go to the Lord, go to Christ. If you take out your little song, hymn, notice the chorus. There is a balm in Gilead. See how he turned it around? At the wording level, it's, is there a balm? Or is there not a balm? Yes, there's a balm. But they turned it around. This is like the positive side of it. There is a balm in Gilead. It makes the wounded, and now you can see where they're getting the language there, the wounded whole, and they're taking that as spiritually wounded, as was Jeremiah. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sick, sin soul. So the song is assuming, it's written to Christians, that they're having a difficult time, and Christ is the balm to avail yourself to. Is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there's difficulties in this life. And reading the book of Jeremiah makes you rethink the seriousness of some difficulties in life. In fact, many of our Christian brothers and sisters are in serious difficulties with wars and this and that. Severe illness, financial difficulties, and those happen here, severe illness. Wayward children, maybe many of you aren't old enough, but if someone in your church has teenagers or young adults who have gotten rid of the faith, it is killing them. It's killing them. And every time someone says, oh, my son's at this, and he was witnessing, and he was doing that, it's killing them. And their son isn't. Or some in your churches may hate their spouse. They'll stick with them, and that's a good thing to do. But they don't like it. They're like, I got to go another 40 years with this husband or this wife. Or even more spiritual problems, you feel blasé about Christianity. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to go to church. It's just on a plane on Sunday evening coming back from preaching somewhere. Well, getting the little details, but the woman vociferously arguing to me she was a Christian but never went to church, and other parts of the Bible she doesn't really believe, but that's another story. Won't get into that discussion. And I was thinking about this text. So I was trying to be winsome, comforting. Turn to Christ. He'll make you want to go to church. There's a balm in Gilead. For us in the room, at some level, we're not trusting in Christ, you know, as well as we should. But some of us in the room do have severe physical, financial difficulties. No matter your difficulty, there's many secondary aids to that difficulty, but the ultimate aid is the balm of Christ. Do you believe there's a balm in Gilead that will really fix the sin-sick soul? And I trust you do, because that's why you're here at seminary, to go out and preach many times the exciting, glorious news, but many times the exciting, glorious news in the context of really, really serious situations. And the gospel applies to all of those. Applies to the guy that doesn't have his worldview exactly right, but applies to the person with serious, serious problems. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Rhetorical question to say there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician. And he has changed, is changing, and glory be, will change us in the new heavens and new earth. And many and all these difficulties will be gone. Why don't we end in prayer? So I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ, who is our balm. May we apply it as appropriate to ourselves. May we apply it as appropriate to other believers. And may we apply it as appropriate to non-believers, for them to turn to the balm, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray all of this in the name of the physician. Amen.